at the Ministers and Delegates 8:30 morning meeting on Monday morning, February 27, 1893, following testimony from Sister White was read, quote, George's Terrace, St. Gildo Road, Melbourne, January 9, 1893. The time of peril is now upon us. It can no longer be spoken of as in the future. And the power of every mind sanctified to the Master's work is to be employed, not to hedge up the way before the messengers God sends to his people, but to labor unitedly in preparing a people to stand in the great day of God. It is not the inspiration from heaven that leads one to be suspicious, watching for a chance, and greedily seizing upon it to prove that those brethren who differ from us in some interpretation of Scripture are not sound in the faith. There is danger that this course of action will produce the very result assumed, and to a great degree, the guilt will rest upon those who were watching for evil. Had our brethren been free from prejudice and walking in humility, they would have been ready to receive light from whatever source, recognizing the Spirit of God and the grace of Christ. They would be indeed channels of light, and their long experience would make them counselors, men of sound judgment. The opposition in our own ranks has imposed upon the Lord's messengers a laborious and soul-trying task, for they have had to meet difficulties and obstacles which need not have existed. While this labor had to be performed among our own people to make them willing that God should work in the day of his power, the light of the glory of God has not been shining in clear, concentrated ways to the world. Thousands who are now in the darkness of error might have been added to our numbers. All the time and thought and labor required to counteract the influence of our brethren who oppose the message has been just so much taken from the world of the swift coming judgments of God. The Spirit of God has been present in power among his people, but it could not be bestowed upon them because they did not open their hearts to receive it. It is not the opposition of the world that we have to fear, but it is the elements that work among ourselves that have hindered the message. The efficiency of the movements for extending the truth depends upon the harmonious action of those who profess to believe it. Love and confidence constitute a moral force that would have united our churches and ensured harmony of action, but coldness and distrust have brought disunion that has shorn us of our strength. The Lord designed that the message of warning and instruction given through the Spirit to his people should go everywhere. But the influence that grew out of the resistance of light and truth at Minneapolis tended to make of no effect the light God had given to his people through the testimonies. Great Controversy, Volume 4, has not had the circulation that it should have had because some of those who occupy responsible positions were leavened with the spirit that prevailed at Minneapolis, a spirit that clouded the discernment of the people of God. The work of opponents to the truth has been steadily advancing while we have been compelled to devote our energies in a great degree to counteracting the work of the enemy through those who were in our ranks. The dullness of some and the opposition of others have confined our strength and means largely among those who know the truth but do not practice its principles. If every soldier of Christ had done his duty, if every watchman on the walls of Zion had given the trumpet a certain sound, the world might hear this, have heard the message of warning. But the work is years behind. What account will be rendered to God for thus retarding the work? While the angels were holding the four winds, that they should not blow, giving opportunity for everyone who had light to let it shine to the world, there has been influences among us to cry peace and safety. Many did not understand that we had not time or strength or influence to be lost through dilatory action. While men slept, Satan has been stealing a march upon us, working up the advantages given him to have things after his own order. The Lord has revealed to us that the Laodicean message applies to the church at this time. And yet, how few make a practical application of it to themselves? God has wrought for us. We have no complaint to make of heaven, for the richest blessings have been proffered us, but our people have been very reluctant to accept them. Those who have been so stubborn and rebellious that they would not humble themselves to receive the light of God sent in mercy to their souls, because so destitute of the Holy Spirit that the Lord cannot use them. Unless they are converted, these men will never enter the mansions of the blessed. Some have been preaching the word, whose labors have been pained with impurity and licentiousness. They have done far more harm than good. Unless they shall turn from their evil ways, they will perish with the wicked. Others have carried the truth in a very indifferent manner. They have had no real burden of the work. They have gone backward rather than forward. It is high time for these to retrace their steps, for they have lost their first love. The Lord's injunction to them is, quote, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Close quote. A great work is before us. There are few who carry the heavy burden of responsibility. They feel that God has committed to our American churches a solemn trust in the messages of truth to be given to the world. From all nations, the Laodicean cry is heard, "Come over and help us." God in his providence has opened fields before us, and if the human agents cooperate with the divine agencies, many souls may be partakers of a pure and saving faith. For years the appeal has been made, but the Lord's professed people have been sleeping over their allotted work and remains almost untouched. God has sent message after message to arouse our churches to do something and to do it now. But to the call of God, "Whom shall I send?" there have been few voices to respond. "Here am I, send me." Through this neglect, many souls will lose the opportunity the Lord desired to give them. A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto his servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper." When the message of God is brought to them, many will thus excuse themselves. But the work must be pressed wherever there is an opening. Men and money are needed to carry it forward. Still, there is opportunity for us to share the Savior's self-denial and sacrifice for the salvation of souls. The necessities of the work now demand far greater outlay than ever before. The Lord calls upon His people to make every effort to curtail their expenses. Again, I plead that instead of spending money for pictures of yourself and your friends, you should turn it into another channel. Let the money that has been devoted to the gratification of self flow into the Lord's treasury to sustain those who are working to save perishing souls. Let those who have houses and lands give heed to the message, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Lord is soon to come." We must work while the day lasts, for the night is coming in which no man can work. Oh, many, many have lost the spirit of self-denial and sacrifice. They have been burying their money in temporal possessions. There are men whom God has blessed, whom He is testing to see what response they will make to His benefits. They have withheld their tithes and offerings until their debt to the Lord of hosts has become so great that they grow pale at the thought of rendering to the Lord His own, a just tithe. Make haste, brethren. You have now the opportunity to be honest with God. Delay not, for your soul's sake. No longer rob God in tithes and offerings. The Lord calls for every talent and ability to be put to use. When the reproach of indolence and slothfulness shall have been wiped away from the church, the Spirit of the Lord will be graciously manifested. Divine power will combine with human effort. The church will see the providential interpositions of the Lord God of hosts. The light of truth will be diffused, the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ whom He has sent. As in the apostles' time, many souls will turn unto the Lord. The earth will be lightened with the glory of the angel from heaven. If the world is to be convinced of sin as transgressors of God's law, the agency must be the Holy Spirit working through human instrumentalities. The church needs now to shake off her death-like slumber. For the Lord is waiting to bless His people who will recognize the blessing when it comes and diffuse it in clear, strong rays of light. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." If the wilderness of the church is to become as a fruitful field, and the fruitful field to be as a forest, it is through the Holy Spirit of God poured upon His people. The heavenly agencies have been long waiting for the human agents, the members of the church, to cooperate with them in the great work to be done. They are waiting for you. So vast is the field, so comprehensive the design, that every sanctified heart will be pressed into service as an agent of divine power. At the same time, there will be a power stirring everything from beneath. The working of evil angels will be manifest in delusions and deceptions and calamities and in casualties and crimes of no ordinary character. While God employs the angels of mercy to work through his human agents, Satan sets his agencies in operation, laying under tribute all the powers that submit to his control. There will be lords many and gods many. The cry will be heard, "Lo, here is Christ," and "Lo, he is there." The deep plotting of Satan will reveal its workings everywhere for the purpose of distracting attention from present duty. The appearance of a false Christ will awaken delusive hopes in the minds of those who allow themselves to be deceived. The church members that are awake will arise to the emergency, and manifestations of satanic power are to be presented in their true light before the people. There will be signs and wonders in the world of nature. The powers of earth and hell will manifest a terrifying, destructive activity. But the eye of faith will discern in all these manifestations harbingers of the grand and awful future and the triumphs that will surely come to God's people. Let all who believe the truth for this time put away their differences. Put away envy and evil speaking and evil thinking. Press together, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Work, O work, keeping eternity in view. Bear in mind that every power must be sanctified. In yourselves you are powerless to do anything good. Christ declares, "Without me you could do nothing." Becoming partakers of the divine nature, you can do all things. Through Christ, you can have power with God and with man. A great work is to be done. Let the prayers go forth from unfeigned lips. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Our God is waiting to be gracious. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Will the church give to the world the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Shall the light shine forth to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples? There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be salvation unto the ends of the earth. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Our work is plainly laid down in the Word of God. Christian is to be united to Christian, church to church, the human instrumentality cooperating with the divine. Every agency is to be subordinate to the Holy Spirit, and all to be combined in giving to the world the good tidings of the grace of God. Ellen G. White. Following the reading of this, a most excellent social meeting occurred. A number of brethren responding with hearty confessions and expressions of determination to walk in unity and love and the advancing light. The good spirit of the Lord came in a marked degree. Tears flowed freely, and expressions of joy and thankfulness seemed to well up from every heart. It is the end of this reading.